thank you guys so much for being moms, you know, for, again, doing the work, putting in just countless hours, loving unconditionally, just showing up, you know, in so many ways. There's no recognition sometimes. There's no pay. There's so many things that just go unnoticed, your prayers, your thoughts, just everything. So, again, thank you. And I understand, too, that this space is sacred ground. It is a day of love and appreciation and celebration. It is also a hard day. Someone in our church family just found out last night that their grandmother passed away. And so these are days, right, where you're just like, you wake up and you're thankful for the women and the people in your life. And we are a family, and we are just here to love on each other, whatever your story is and wherever you come from, however this looked for you. This is a safe place, and we love you. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. So today, my name is Katie. Yes, I should introduce myself in case you guys don't know me. I am Pastor Neil's wife, and I'm very honored to be here today. But we are starting a new sermon series, and it is called Generations of Good. So kind of with this, we're going to be looking at kind of three different parts from the book of Titus. This is a letter from Paul to Titus, encouraging him with those early believers in the church of how to live out the way of Jesus, how to, you know, from his teachings, really practically follow him. And so he speaks, though, kind of to groups. There's a time where he speaks to women, he speaks to men, he speaks to leaders. And so we're going to kind of break down in this series those different groups. So it won't be a chapter, you know, verse by verse kind of way through Titus, but you will see kind of this overarching idea of generationally doing good. So today, that is kind of our big goal. My title for Mother's Day is Shared Beauty. Something else, too, that we have that is different about westernized culture versus maybe Jesus's time is that we live very box-like. You know what I mean? And what I mean by that is we live in our very single-family homes, single-unit housings. We don't live kind of in this community-style life like what Jesus experience and what he grew up in and how the culture was kind of then, where people just did life together. They were in each other's homes. They were closer in proximity. But we kind of have the garage door goes up, we drive in, the garage door closes, and we are in our little boxes. And so, again, generationally speaking, there's so much good that we do in our homes that we are focused on that takes a lot of our attention, but kind of we can get so focused on what's happening in our own lives and our own problems and our own things that we miss an opportunity to kind of look up and say, God, how is my family and in this unit changing the world? How do you want me to impact my neighbors and my friends and my coworkers? And so the idea is to kind of look up and to look out and to see that God is a generational God. He even introduced himself as that. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said that he was a God of people and groups. And so we can kind of come underneath that and see the big picture. Okay? You guys good with that? All right, well, then let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you so much for this word. I thank you for this idea, God, of being able to share beauty with each other, to do good in this world, Lord God, in a world that is just full of darkness, in a world that is full of hardships and turmoil and just suffering. Lord Jesus, would you show us the beauty? Would you show us the good so that we can receive that good into our lives and pass that on and be generationally empowering? Lord Jesus, we just offer this space to you and our hearts and believe you're going to speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now today I'm going to specifically speak to women, and I'm going to show you kind of the verses that we're going to be looking at. But men, don't you check out on me, okay? Don't be like, all right, so it's Mother's Day. I'm not a mom. I'm not a woman. So I get to just sit here and Google something. Like, don't do that, okay? There is a word here for you because, again, generations are happening right now. They are around us. There is a culture of generational impact happening around us. And if you go to work, or if you have a home and you live with someone, you are impacting someone's life today. So, how to do good from generation to generation, that is building the kingdom of God through similarities and our differences. So, the problem, you know, is that focus. So, we have to zoom out. So, we're going to look at Titus 2, 1 through 5. Can we just put that on the screen really quick? It says, as for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. So there's something for you guys, okay? Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. It's kind of an odd thing. We're going to come back to that, okay? Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. There's a lot in there. We're going to unpack that, okay? So kind of what I see in this is seven attributes of a godly woman. The thing we have to kind of know ahead of time is that Paul was telling Titus, teach the older women. Like, he singles out that group. And it's like, well, why? Why single out the older women in a group? Well, because that's where the truth comes from. It comes from the top down. So you need to find the oldest people in your church, in your home, in your community, and they are going to teach the younger generations what they know and what they've heard and what they've experienced. And unfortunately, our society doesn't do that, understand that, have that concept of value and appreciation and honor and respect. But it is such a beautiful thing to see this flow of generations. I was going to have a little example for you guys, but I forgot and I didn't get it. It was a really cool idea. It just didn't happen. So there's that. It was basically two cups of water, and you put a paper towel in it, and it soaks it up, and then it's got color on it that you don't see. Okay, so just imagine this with me for a second. It's soaking up the water, and there's some science, I'm sure, you know, why that does that. It's paper towels. Bounty, I heard, is the best. Dun-dun. Bounty. And then all the colors and everything bleed over, and it's like this beautiful rainbow and array of colors. And the idea is, what is inside of you is also going to be shared with someone in some capacity. And so if you're thinking to yourself, I don't really have anyone in my life that I'm like directly connected to that I am discipling or speaking into, one, I would challenge you to change that. Because there's so much good that comes out of that in itself. But two, if you are connected to any person, you are doing that. You are having transactional livings. You are teaching them whether or not you believe the word of God, whether or not you hold integrity at your workplace, whether or not you are a slanderer, or how you live your life in secret and in private. You know, these people who are close to us are getting something out of our lives. So what are we giving out? So these seven attributes for us as women are just defined so that we can know what are those things that God is saying, hey, these are things that I want you to pour out. These are the things that I want you to live into and to have and to be like that rainbow of water just pouring into somebody else. And again, like a waterfall, just it comes down. God is at the top, and we are all just receiving from generation to generation. Everyone is teaching someone something. And we are all students of someone or something. My five-year-old, Judah, he's a great example of this. So I love bringing him here to church. He wants to go into the big kids' class. He's in preschool, but he really wants to go into the K through fifth room. And so I'll find him in there. I have to, like, bring him out. But he just wants to be with the older kids. He's, like, sitting there, and he's like, yeah, I can do that, too. I want to throw the ball. Yeah, see, watch. Look, you know, and like, they're like, okay, hurry it up, you know, but he wants their love and their attention, and he also watches them, and he's looking at their lives, and he's learning from them. He mimics them, but then I see him go into his class, and there's a new student coming in, and they're younger than him, and he's talking to them, and he's showing them things around the room. He is being taught as well as being a teacher, and he's five, so older women in the room, that is all of us. There was one day my mom said that. She was like, Katie, I just want to let you know, you're the older woman in the room now. And I wanted to be like, I'm not the older one. I'm not old. And she's like, yes, you are. And I was like, are we talking age? Are we talking maturity? But the idea is not like how old you are. It's that there is someone who needs something from you. In every area of our life, there is someone who needs what you have. And to hold on to the things that we have learned in our lives and what we've gained just to ourselves would just be wrong, right? So we need to pour that out. So the seven attributes that I see in the scripture, the first one we see is we must choose self-control and discipline. And remember I said we're going to come back to that verse? It's in verse 3. This is what I'm talking about. Similarly, teach the older woman to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Seems so random, right? But we as women do have a lot of emotions. God made us this soft and gentle person so that we would be nurturing, that we would be kind, that we would be compassionate to our children. We could be empathy for them, and that is a beautiful thing. But when we've been hurt and we've had things happen in our lives, it's easy to carry bitterness and to carry resentment and to carry a lot of other things in our cup that when it's transferred is not beautiful. It is not something that God wants us to keep passing on from generation to generation. And so there are going to be some things in your lives that you can say, I'm cutting that off. I'm going to cut that off, and that's going to stop right here. It's not going to pass on from generation to generation. It's going to stop right here because I'm making a choice to live into these attributes and to honor God with my life. So self-control is holding our tongues. As a mom, oh my gosh, I get tested in this daily. The Lord put a little one in my life that just gets me going, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. He knows, and you guys probably know who he is, but he knows what my buttons are. And when I start going, he's like, oh boy, mom, are you okay? I'm like, yes, I'm fine. I promise everything's good. But that challenge gives me an opportunity, right, to live into negative behaviors and to live into the things that are like drunkenness, okay? That in and of itself, being drunk is wrong, but drinking is not bad. Indulging in bad behaviors, okay, can we just separate that? That can be any bad behavior that you are indulging in. So as a parent, if I am standing there and I have an opportunity to pour out good or to pour out what is coming into my mind in that moment, I have that opportunity, right, to cut that off, say that is not going to be good, that is not going to be helpful, that is not something I want to pass on to my son. I do not want him to think that he is little or that he is not loved or whatever. I'm going to stop that right there, and I'm going to have self-discipline and self-control and choose a better way. Now, I'm not always perfect in that by any means, but that's the aim. That's where we're going with self-control and discipline as women of God, being able to say, listen, if there is an innate desire to lie to our children or to our spouses or different things like that, just to have self-control and discipline, to discipline our bodies, right? Someone is watching your life right now and learning from you. whether you know it or not. So controlling our words and behaviors or impulses, right? We do not have to give in to those emotions or those tendencies. Karen Wingate's devotional called A Fresh Look at the Titus 2 Woman says this. She says, I need to set boundaries on myself, right? I need to set boundaries so you can see, oh, I lost my place. You can see through my example that living a godly lifestyle can be done and how it can be done. So by putting up these boundaries on myself, I'm disciplining myself. I am presenting to the world around me what a godly woman looks like. What God himself looks like. We are all living examples of him. That is such an honor and a privilege, and sometimes feels like this burden that we don't want on us. But again, everyone is learning to become like something and someone, and we're all teaching, whether we want to or not. If we want to bow out, there's no option. There's no third option. Hey, there's a back door over here. You can excuse yourself from society and the world and responsibilities. There's none of that. We are here, and we're all learning from someone and teaching someone. We must each ruthlessly examine our own lives and ask some questions. The first is there anything that I'm currently doing or giving into as an impulse or sin that could harm the people around me that I love? So the first thing, like that cup, we have to kind of look at our own cup and say, God, is there anything inside me, anything that is wrong in me that you want me to get rid of, that you want me to cast out, that you want me to cut off so that I can be a blessing to someone else? Hebrews 12, 10 through 12 says this, for our earthly fathers or mothers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. How many of you guys can relate, right? We're all trying to just do the best we know how. But God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. And I love this part. Okay? It says, so take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. And I just want to pause there for a second. When I hear this description and he's saying, take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. This is a person who has been on their knees praying. This is a person who has been holding on. This is a person who has not given up and not stopped and not relented. And God is saying to this person, continue, hold on, stay steadfast, don't stop now, right? Strengthen your grip. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. There are those following us right now. We need to shore up our grip on the plow and not look back and keep going and keep pushing and keep moving forward, because what you don't know and what you don't see is that you are carving a path for someone else to walk behind. When my kids were really little, we would go to the store. We had so many. There was one time Neil was in Romania, and I came to Kansas City with all four children just by myself in a stick shift. It was insane. I don't know what I was thinking. But we would get out of the car, and we would all be walking into the gas station, and I would tell them, okay, grab my shirt. Grab each other's shirts. We're going to walk like little mommy ducks. We walk in like this, and I say, quack, 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 and they go, quack, 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 quack. Like, that's what I think of this when I hear this verse of make a straight path because someone is walking behind you right now. They are following you. They are looking at your life, and they are saying, oh, my gosh, she's just so in love with Jesus. She prays. She is consistent. She just is faithful. She shows up. I want to be like her. I want to be encouraging like her. We must discipline ourselves and carve out that right way of living so that those who follow us will have an example that strengthens them. They're coming in lame. They're coming in broken. Women who are going to come to our church, they're going to come in looking for answers. And we need to be here to say, listen, this is the way. Here we go, right here. and link arms with them, right? Number two, we are called to encourage others to do good. Titus 2:5 says, these older women must train younger women. Another translation says, encourage. That word train is sophronizo. I'm going to read this kind of fast. It means to restore one to his senses, to moderate control, curb, or disciple, to hold one to his duty, to admonish, to exhort earnestly. So the closest example that we have kind of in our society today that we see this is a coach, okay? So this is like saying, hey, you women, become a coach for another woman. Like, what does that look like? A coach is someone who stirs you up, right? Say, hey, come on, let's go. Like, you got this. Oh, man, this is fun. This is fun. And they're like, oh, my gosh, this is work. You know what I mean? And they're like, you got this. You got this. So keep going. You're a coach. Okay, so they stir you up. Another thing they do, I lost my place. Sorry. I wasn't working on the iPad before. So it stirs you up. The second thing, they challenge you to do better. When you drop that bar, you do that thing, your coach will be there to say, hey, listen, let's hold it like this. Why don't you move your body like this? Why don't you hold the bat like this? So a coach is someone who is coming alongside you to walk with you to say, hey, here's a better way to do that. We all need a coach in our life, someone who's walking alongside us and saying, you can do this. Just encouraging us, saying, you can do this. You can follow Jesus. You can keep going. You can be a good parent. I promise you're not going to hurt them or kill them. Like, encourage them to say, hey, you got this, okay? So I'm going to share this story, and I'm going to try not to cry, okay? I think it was a Mother's Day shortly after our twins were born. They were just months old. We decided to go to a restaurant because, you know, that seemed like a good idea. We were going to celebrate me. And I remember we were sitting in this booth and trying to order, and then the babies started crying, and it was just like dominoes. Like, one starts crying, and then the other one starts crying, and I'm just, like, sitting there overwhelmed, right, as a mom trying to navigate this. We have a one-year-old and then newborns, and so Neil was doing a great job trying to, like, take care of things and do stuff, but I decided, like, I'm going to go ahead and just nurse right here in this restaurant. And I was covered, and everything was modest, but I was sitting there nursing, and there were some people walking by. And it just, I caught their eye, and they looked at me and just kind of gave me this, like, oh, my gosh, you're one of those people who's sitting here nursing in a restaurant. And I just felt so small. And it hurt that they don't know me. They don't know my story. They don't know that I'm trying to do the best that I can. And I didn't start crying or anything there, but I'm crying because I know what happened next. Then a mom comes over to my table, and she just very sweetly looks me in the eye, and she said, you're doing a great job, and she said, your family's beautiful, and you're just doing really good, and just ministered so much to my heart. It was just so real in that moment. It felt like God was talking to me through this complete stranger, you know? I don't know her name. I'll never talk to her again. But I decided in that moment I was going to be that mom. I was going to see another mom in another moment, in another space at the park where she's running around and she's sweating and she has no more makeup on because she's wiping it off because she's just trying to let their kids have fun. And I would say, you're doing a great job. Like, I see you and God loves you. And just sharing beauty. What would the world look like if we encouraged each other instead of judged one another, instead of saying, you don't live up to my expectations and you don't do the things I want you to do, and I'm going to post this and dislike you? And I mean, our world is already so full of it. They're so full of hate and anger. What if we as the church decided we were going to impact the next generation among us and around us to doing good, to being good? We each need to hear it. You're doing good. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give in. this life is beautiful, worth living, worth fighting for. You can be that for someone today. Maybe it's your husband who needs to hear it. And just say, hey, listen, I know it's Mother's Day. Come on now, okay? But your husband who's been working and just showing up day in and day out, when was the last time we encouraged him and said, hey, listen, I see you. You're working so hard. I love you so much. Our kids, they're trying so hard to get our attention, trying so hard to show us that they love us and that we're pleased with them. What if we encouraged them and said, you're doing good. I love it. You guys are almost done with the school year. I'm so proud of you. You all did your classes and you finished. You're not being held back. You're doing good. We need coaches, not critics. Maybe you're a mother who can share it with another mother. Just encourage someone close to you. So far we've covered two of the qualities. You're like, you've got five more? Oh, dear Jesus. This is going to be, no, I'll go through them pretty quick, but I need you to stay with me, okay? Five more attributes of a godly woman. A lot of these come from verse 5. Okay, number one, live wisely. Wisdom is putting into practice what you have learned. Now, I have an example of this, okay? So recently, my mother and father-in-law just moved into their new house. Sorry, I love you guys. We were just talking about examples. You guys get brought up a lot because there's wisdom in you. And Neil and I were helping to set up their bed. We were like, we can at least help you set up your bed. And he gets out the tools. He knows what parts are where. And he's sitting here and he's like, okay, this needs to go here and this needs to go here. We don't have instructions. We don't have like a map to say, here's this, 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 this. There's no way to compare. And we're like, oh, how do you know all of this? And he's like, well, I've done it wrong before. You know, he's like, well, I did it the wrong way once, and then I learned not to do that. And Neil says something really profound, and I want you to hear this. He says, the pain of a bad choice will keep you from doing it again. The pain from a bad choice will keep you from doing it again. Hopefully, like sometimes I think as Americans, we're like gluttons for pain. But it's like when you have that experience, whether it was from a different mom or someone else, a woman in your life, someone hurt you, there was this pain. We can use that as a catalyst. We can use our pain to say, okay, I'm not going to do it this way. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to honor God in this way. I'm not going to be like that. Now, by the grace of God, right? By his power inside us. But he gives us the opportunity to do that and to make those choices. So live wisely. Number two, be pure. The word pure here is hagnos. It means exciting, reverence, venerable, and sacred. Now, when I first thought of this, I thought of Mother Teresa. Oh, sacred woman. She is pure. She is lovely. She is exciting, reverence. But then that word, venerable, I've never heard that word. I had to look that up too. Okay, so here's what venerable means. Commanding respect because of great age. This is a Greek word, guys. And what the meaning of this word pure means. He says, be pure. So means commanding respect because of great age or impressive dignity, worthy of veneration or reverence, as because of high office or noble character. So I think of going into an antique store and being in this space where all of these things are like treasures. They are older than me. They are valuable because of the life that they experienced, the stories that they've had. I wasn't there. I didn't experience that. But I can learn from right here, right now, in this moment, looking at this thing. There are women around you today who are that. This beautiful, pure image of God, who is respectable and honorable because of their age. Now, in a world that we hate getting older, we hate looking older, we don't respect that, we don't dignify that, shame on us, honestly. And may our hearts change and be transformed into this, where we love the beauty of someone and something being older than us, because then we can receive from that. If we don't revere it, we won't receive from it. If we don't revere the Lord, we won't receive from him. If I think that this person is untrustworthy and not worth my attention, I'm not going to receive from them. But there are so many women and men around us who want to pour out good, but we need to see them in this way and be this ourselves. Number three, work in your home. Now, there was a time in my life where I felt like I was a prisoner of my own house. Like, I know that I can get out. I know that I could go to the store, but I can't because I literally have different nap times going and everybody's crying and pooping all over themselves. And I'm tired. I'm going to go take a nap, you know? And then you get woken up from the nap. So working from home, though, that I think he's trying to say here is to see the value of your home, to make your home your biggest life work. That is your relationships. That is your children. That is anyone who is in proximity to you, you saying, listen, if you're in my home, here's my heart. Here's what I've learned. Here's the good. You know, just pouring out. Our homes need us, women. Our children need our love, our care, our compassion and voice. Make your home your workplace. Even if you work full time, when you come home, love your home. Don't you know, look down on it or you know, with the world, you know, it's such a hard thing. It's a beautiful thing. Number four, do good. Galatians 6, 9 through 10. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings. Can anybody finish this? If we don't lose heart, we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. I think that's an interesting little add-on, right? Talking about the home. He's saying, in your church body, you should be excellent at this. You should be so good at loving each other, because if we don't love each other well, if we are backbiting, if we are divided, if we are unwilling to have relationships, how does the world have any hope? They don't, because the church is the hope of the world. That's what Jesus gave his ministry to his disciples and said, go and be fruitful and multiply and like do all the good things that I've taught you. We as godly Christian women can be that good in the world. The last thing here is be submissive to your husbands. I pointed at my husband, not because. He's going to go up and have the worship team come up. That's my cue, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Be submissive to your husbands. Again, this is not something that the world is like celebrating. Oh my gosh, look at this woman over here just honoring her husband and just being so, you know, respectful and good. And like that's not what the world celebrates. But it is something as a godly woman that God is challenging us to respect our husbands and to honor them. Because listen, submission comes from a place of trust. As a woman of God, I trust my husband, not because he's perfect, but because he has God living inside of him, and I trust the God in him. So if I trust God in him, then I'm good. He's going to take care of all of our needs. My husband's going to hear him. That brings unity in our house. That brings a stability and a strength in our homes, in our marriages. And in front of our children, they are seeing that modeled. That you guys are a united front. You guys love each other. You guys are working out this thing in life. So everyone just close your eyes with me here. Just just bow your heads. And I know, again, we've all come from so many different walks of life. We've had different experiences. Maybe even different versions of mothers, where you had your biological mother and your stepmother, and a friend was more of a mother, or your grandma was more of a mother. Someone, somewhere has poured good into you. Just stop and think about that and thank Jesus for the good that you have been given. And I want to read this challenge to us women in here today. So if you've been a Christian for many years, can I challenge you to ramp up your efforts to include God in every aspect of your life? Ask God's help to cultivate kindness, love, and self-control in your life to a higher level. And let me encourage you, older women, to risk becoming intricately involved in a younger woman's life today so that she can see up close and personal what it means to live like you really do and believe what the Bible says about grace, forgiveness, and love. And if you are a younger woman in here today, would you consider actively inviting an older woman to enter your life circle? She needs your wisdom, your perspective, and hope as much as you need hers. Look for a woman committed to Jesus in everything she does, not just for an hour each Sunday in a church facility. Warning, you won't find the perfect role model because she's still growing too. But as you do life together, you can help each other attain what Paul calls us to do. Together, your linked lives will combine to illuminate Jesus even more brightly to those who are watching you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we recognize, God, that something and someone is pouring into us today. Maybe the enemy has been just speaking lies because we have no one encouraging us. We have no other voice to tell us, this is the way I walked. You can do it. I've carved out a way for you that is good, that is right, Lord Jesus. We forgive those people who have hurt us. We forgive those people who have judged us and looked at us and walked past us. God, forgive us for doing that too to someone else, maybe even not even knowing it. We offer you our hearts today, God. We plead with you to instill these attributes in us, God. Remind us, Lord Jesus, what it means to be a godly woman, to look like you in this world, to someone following behind us. And Jesus, we surrender the future of our generations to you, God. God, may we see the big picture of our choices today, God, and the impact that they will have for generations to come. I speak against brokenness and division in our homes in the name of Jesus, and I ask, God, that as women who love truth and righteousness would rise up to this occasion in Jesus' name. If you you are an older woman in here and you feel like you want to pour out some encouragement, whether you're on our worship team, our prayer team, or you're part of our small groups, I would invite you to come up and to just be here on the sides for any younger woman who might need some encouragement today. Okay, we're going to close with a song of worship. So everyone just go ahead and stand with me. We're going to just thank Jesus, right? He's good. So moms, women, that can be anyone. Come on up front if you want to pray.
So teach my son to ride.
with this last verse for us this morning. As women, to be reminded that charm is deceitful and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. That is generational. That is, as our beauty fades, we are passing this shared beauty with everyone and anything around us. So, I bless you women and men to go in the Lord today. Our last thing that we have for you, mothers, is a gift at the door. So don't forget to get your gift on the way out. And we'll see you guys next week for a continuation in Titus.